Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. I'm Phil Carroll, and today we're joined by Peter Krugel, CEO of Mast Energy Developments. Welcome back, Peter. How's things?
Hi, Phil. Good and you. Good to be back. Good to touch base again.
Excellent. Yeah. So obviously now just this week, we saw MED complete an acquisition of two further reserve power projects and secure the associated funding. Do you want to talk us through the details?
Yes. Thank you, Phil. We are very excited about the acquisition of the two further sites. It's been a while in the oven, and we're very pleased that we could conclude the deal. It's two quality sites. We spent quite a bit of time and energy making sure that it adheres to our rigorous technical and investment specifications in order to deliver the best outcome for our shareholders. We also believe that we concluded the deal on very favorable commercial terms, both from the consideration perspective as well as from the associated funding perspective. And it will greatly increase MED's portfolio, with 54% bringing it up to close to circa 30 megawatts of total generation output capacity. So we've taken a very definitive step forward, and we're very excited about this latest development. And it comes at the right time. The market is at unprecedented high levels, and we're very pleased to be able to benefit and partake in the current market environment.
Yeah. I mean, as you just alluded to there, I was looking at the funding arrangement in the RNS. It does look pretty favorable and competitive at the same time.
Yes, absolutely. That was a big focus for us. Further acquisitions and growing the business and the portfolio to our target of 300 megawatts is inevitably going to require further funding. That's just how the business model is structured, and I think that's very clear. Obtaining favorable funding that's going to work out the best for MED and its shareholders is a paramount focus for us, and we believe that the funding that we negotiated on this transaction is definitely market leading and market beating. It's not terms that you see very often, so we're very pleased to have been able to negotiate that.
Yeah, I think you've been unreservedly calm about the funding, because it's a brilliant deal for Mast. I mean, at the end of the day, you're just free, and they can't change the shares until the share price is up 200%.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. It's an interest-free loan. They have an option to convert, as you said, only if the share price is up 200%. So that gives it a lot of headroom. So all in all, I think the funding is a win-win for Mast and its shareholders. It facilitates the transaction on very favorable terms.
And whereabouts are these, just so everybody understands, whereabouts are these sites?
They are predominantly in the East Midlands, in a similar area to the rest of our sites. And at this stage, that's important for us from an economies of scale perspective, logistics and getting to site, etc. Also from the embedded benefits perspective, the location of a site is directly linked to the level of embedded benefits that a site can get. So we also make, as part of our assessment criteria, we make sure that a site is located in a region that's got very favorable embedded benefits, which just adds to the whole economic model of each site.
Yeah, does it mean effectively that you're likely to be negotiating with the same electricity providers as well?
Yes, absolutely.
You already have relationships with, obviously.
Yes, definitely. So, and that's all part of economies of scale. So we've got existing relationships with market-leading DNOs, and we'll just plug and play straight into them.
How do you intend that this will progress? Obviously, it's shovel ready. You can basically start straight away, I presume. But how do you see that progressing?
Yeah, that's a very good question, Kevin. So one of our key criteria with taking on development sites are that they need to have certain key development milestones already in place in order to make them shovel ready, as defined, and that would before, very important thing with the property rights. So we prefer freehold sites or, you know, long-term leaseholds with options of renewal. Then we're talking 25 years plus, which is the case for these two sites. So the property rights is the first thing. Planning consent, second. It needs to be fully planned and permitted. Then the connections, grid and gas, is also key. That needs to be secured. And then lastly, the EPC configuration to be in place as well. So if those four things are in place, the site's technically shovel ready, which these sites are. And then, you know, once we've taken it on, the very next step would be a ground investigation to make sure that the EPC configuration can be put on the ground on site. And then we start with construction.
So these sites were half owned by Duke Mount, is it half owned by effectively Arlington? So just tell us a little bit about that. What is the situation? You now own the sites outright?
Yes. We bought both sites outright from those parties. It's housed in special purpose vehicles, companies that we bought the entire issued share capital of. So we own these sites outright in its totality.
Okay, so this for me is sort of the start of the snowball. And we discussed this the last time in terms of increasing the megawatt availability that's going to be within MAST. And do you see further deals possible in the rest of the year?
We do. We currently have a pipeline under assessment of about 100 megawatts, you know, actively under assessment, you know, some already at legal. So definitely more deals coming. And as you said, I mean, it's a very good, you know, way to put it, the snowball has started now. I mean, it's just going to grow from here.
Because if I remember rightly, Peter, your main strategy was to build a portfolio of up to 300 megawatts of reserve power projects. Do you feel that, obviously I know there's been some delays, but do you feel like you're still on target for hitting that, or still on for hitting that target?
Yes, definitely. Our very next target is to get up to 100 megawatts. And we've taken a big step forward in that regard. So we're at 30 now, and I think in the next few months, we'd like to boost that up to 100, and from there, 200, and then 300.
Sure. I mean, I remember reading, I think there was an independent financial modelling done of the latest acquisition, and I think the internal rate of return was around circa 15%. Do you want to talk us through some of those economics and what it means in terms of sort of, you know, average annual revenues?
Yes, happy to. So the internal rate of return, 15%, important to remember that's unlevered. So that's without adding in any debt and then some leverage, which based on our numbers at the moment will take that internal rate of return up to over 20% at least. So leverage is a very important part of our business case. And, you know, that's why our relationship with Claude Brothers come in, to get debt capex funding at very favorable terms. And then, you know, to add that leverage into the equation, which will de-risk the business case for Martin and each shareholder by sharing the capex with the likes of Close Brothers. And that leverage will also increase the overall return of each project. And as I said, taking it to over 20%, which I think in the current market environment is not something to sneeze at. So that's from a returns perspective. From a cash flow perspective, we are expecting on a base case model, I must say. So that's, you know, that's kind of our starting point, and we expect to beat that, especially under current market conditions. But we expect revenues from these two sites of close to £4 million per annum on average. And about 30% of that is going to be operational profit, of which the lion's share will hit the bottom line. So very good numbers that we expect out of these sites and all our sites, because, I mean, all our sites have to adhere to our investment criteria. And these, you know, these numbers are kind of the base case for us.
Sure. So base case with 30 megawatts then, based on your numbers, is sort of profit of somewhere in the region of £3 million, if we're being conservative, from this 30 megawatts.
That's correct, yes.
Yeah. So on the basis that your current market cap is about £7.5 million, that seems like quite a good deal, especially in this utility sector, and with the possibility of going up to 100 megawatts is the first step. And I mean, if you did achieve that by the end of the year, then this is a game changer in terms of the ability of MAST to create income, you know, you're going to be generating significantly more income than your market capitalization on an annual basis, and probably as much in profit as your market capitalization. So have you any comments on that you can't say?
That's a very good point, Kevin. I think ultimately for us, the main crux of the MED business model is that, you know, we're expecting very strong cash flows out of each site and the business model as a whole. There's going to be a critical point where the cash flows out of the sites are going to be in excess of all costs, and we're going to start making net profits. And I think that's going to be fairly soon in the process, way before we get to 300 megawatts. I think that's going to be closer to the 100 megawatt mark, looking at things at this stage. And, especially where the market is at the moment, I mean, we're seeing extraordinary numbers coming out of Firebridge. And, we're working on a next market update in that regard, which should come out soon. But we're really seeing extraordinary numbers coming out of Firebridge. And, we do expect the market to cool down a bit in future. It's really at a very high level at the moment, and we're happy to partake at this level. but even if the market does cool down a bit, it's still, at least five times where it was when we IPO'd. And we already had a very strong business case. So things are just looking, excellent for the master business case at this stage.
Yeah, it is that snowball scenario that I suggested, because ultimately, once your free cash flow starts to flow, you don't then even need the finances for the next 200 megawatts. Because ultimately the finances should just be flowing through your door. And then now, obviously, to leverage them is going to be better for the company and the shareholders, you would imagine, because it's going to produce more profit. But ultimately, you won't necessarily even need to do that. So you're going to be in a very strong position once we achieve that initial economy of scale.
Yes, definitely, Kevin, that's a very good point. So Mast ultimately is a cash-generating business. Very much so. And as you said, we're going to reach a point sooner rather than later where, we won't need external funding, especially from an equity perspective. The debt funding from the likes such as Close is going to take care of at least 60% of the CapEx funding of each site. And the remaining 40%, we'll be able to fund from within the business. The business will be able to fund itself. And at a certain stage, then be able to start, distributing dividends to shareholders as part of the return of the investment case of Mark.
Sure. I mean, there was one thing I was looking at, and it's your power offtake partner, your preferred one. I think it's Statkraft, I believe, or a Norwegian state-owned company into the billion, multi-billion pound market cap. Just how hungry are they for the power that you can deliver to them? Do you think it would be a case that they will take whatever you can supply?
Yes, Paul. So maybe just taking a quick step back. So with regards to off-takers, post-IPO, that was the very first thing that we had to look at, is to assess the off-takers, available in the UK market specifically. And we looked at the leading off-takers, assessed them rigorously, and created a shortlist. And from there, we ultimately selected Statkraft for various reasons. We do believe that they are the market leader, from a trading perspective and profitability, all those things. And we're seeing that the proof is in the pudding. As I said, we're seeing phenomenal numbers coming out of Firebridge, and Statkraft is an integral part of that process. They are, if not the largest, one of the largest players in the market in Europe, but specifically in the UK as well. They've got a portfolio of into the gigawatts. They what we like about them specifically is they play on both sides. So they're very much involved in the renewable space, and they take the reserve power which we provide, and they play that off against the renewable. So they know when renewables are going to be offline and when they will require reserve power. And that's why we believe that they can provide the best option for us from a trading and a revenue creation perspective. So getting back to your question, they do have a very big demand at the moment. And, even up to our target of 300 megawatts, they've already indicated that they can take that from us.
Excellent.
Yeah, I think the market hasn't really realized yet what you're creating. Obviously, from the IPO, the share price has drastically decreased, and yet you've been moving forward, and this whole electricity replacement scenario has gone crazy. You know, I mean, 5x revenues, maybe significant numbers of increase in profit, maybe not 5x, because obviously the costs have also gone up. But I just don't think the market has actually got this. So it's a crazy situation. But I think as you move forward and more of these announcements come out that your megawatt potential is increasing as we go along, then hopefully people are going to start realizing, because I really see this as a low risk utility investment that should have pretty large PE ratios on it, because not much is going to change. Yes, okay, profitability can change up and down a little bit, but not a great deal once you've built this process. It's going to run for how many years do you think it's going to run when you build 300 megawatts? Another 15, 20 years?
Yes, yeah. Our outlook is 15 years. And based on the current specifications, and you know, obviously gas is a large part of that, you know, we do expect that to be you know, very robust at least the next 5 years. And as the market evolves from there, you know, we've got various options. You know, eventually, and I mean, we're very much part of the whole net zero process. You know, we're an enabler of renewables, and we're very excited to be part of that process. And we know that, you know, carbon emissions is a problem. We want to be part of the solution to that. So eventually, you know, we'll likely replace gas with more natural feedstocks, and eventually go into long duration storage, which I think is going to be a natural next step for us. And that's talking long term, you know. So very much a 15-year business case at least. But you know, there's going to be lots of involvement during that process, and you know, we've already started looking at that. We've already looked 5 and 10 years down the line, and made sure that we know what we need to do to stay relevant, stay profitable, and stay a healthy business.
Yeah, I was going to say exciting times ahead, but I mean, electricity is not really very exciting, but I think just boring and profitable times ahead. So I'm looking forward to it.
well said.
Very good. Anything else you want to add?
No, nothing at this stage. We're hard at work to grow the business. Thank you for the opportunity to talk a bit about our latest development, which we're very excited about. You know, we're flat out onboarding the two new projects and, you know, starting with construction as soon as possible. And we'll continue updating the market with new news as and when.
Yeah, excellent. Peter Krugel, CEO of Must Energy Developments. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you, Phil. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you, Peter.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.